Open your Bibles to page 579. 579. It'd be just after 578 if you have a hard time finding it. Proverbs 22, verse 28 says, "Do not move an ancient boundary stone set up by your ancestors." You know, in life, the more success that we have and the better that we do, it seems that the more demands get placed on our time. It seems as each year goes by, there's less and less free times and more demands that get on our time. The more we're able to accomplish in life, the more people want us to help them get where it is that they want to go. And that makes it very important that we establish boundaries in our lives, that we write them down and keep them close by, because boundaries, or lack thereof, in one area slip over to other areas. You know, sometimes people say, "Well, I do good, but I just don't have very good boundaries in this area." Let me liken it to this. If your bank account is negative, then your cholesterol is probably a little high. Nothing is isolated. If you just let chaos and disorganization fester around, it grows and it grows and it grows. So we all need boundaries that are predetermined, not necessarily so rigid, but just as guardrails to help keep us grounded. You know, since the very beginning of time, Adam and Eve in the Garden of Eden, God, at the very beginning of time, gave them boundaries. He told Adam and Eve they could eat from any tree in that garden except for that one tree. He gave them boundaries. That was the very, very first boundary that we see in the world. But it was also the very first time that we saw human nature in the world. Human nature is, no matter where those boundaries are, we as sinful people tend to press those boundaries and to see how far we can go. You know, with children, have you ever noticed, before they're very old at all, before they know much at all, they know they want to press those boundaries just a little bit past where mom and dad said they should go. Any of you had kids before or grandchildren? They want to press those boundaries just a little bit further than they're supposed to do it. And until there are consequences, and even more than that, repeated consequences. Consequences one time generally don't do it. It takes repeated consequences to somewhat establish a hard boundary. But, you know, let's not stop with children. Adults struggle with boundaries as well. I think in different ways we all struggle with boundaries. But the important thing about boundaries is that we have them in place, kind of like a fence in our yard, to keep certain things out and to keep certain things in. You know, last week we talked about goals, and I'm fortunate to talk with a lot of people about goals one-on-one, and normally after we finish talking about goals, we kind of ease over into boundaries. And you'll probably be surprised to know that some people say, "You know, I really don't get into boundaries. I really don't see the importance of boundaries in my life." And as I look at them, I think, yeah, no kidding. I think you didn't have to tell me that. It's pretty evident that you don't see the need for boundaries. I try not to say that, but human nature is. Sometime we do. But a lack of boundaries is one of the main reasons that gets us into trouble. You know, it's interesting. Oftentimes you'll hear people say, "Children find security in boundaries." Have you ever heard that? If you read any parenting books, Jody likes to read all the parenting books. I tell her just to give me the little excerpts from it. I don't care to read the whole thing, but they say... boundaries make children feel secure. They want to press the boundaries and just see if they're important enough to be worth the struggle and to be worth the conflict. And if we'll hold boundaries and demonstrate to our children that they're worth it, then that will make them feel secure, you know, and that's great. But as you think about it, I know more adults that are insecure than I do children that are insecure. Any of you know any insecure people? Boundaries. When we don't have boundaries to make us feel secure, it leads to all sorts of problems. See, because when we grow up, we tend to think, you know, we've grown past those boundaries. We no longer have a bedtime, and we no longer have a curfew, and we no longer have all these limits that we had when we were children. And we kind of decide that we have a good mind. We can kind of figure things out on a case-by-case basis. But over in Jeremiah 17:9, it says, "The heart is deceitful above all things and beyond cure. The translation of that today is letting your conscience be your guide is step one to a crash. Because your conscience isn't a set point. Your conscience is a sliding scale. And just like your heart is deceitful, our consciences can be deceitful. You give a little here, you give a little there, and then you look up sometime down the road and you've got a mess on your hands. I read an interesting story this week about the probability of a prisoner who is up for parole being granted that parole. And this study showed that the largest single predictor was the scheduled time of the hearing. It had nothing to do necessarily with the offense or with the prisoner. What it showed, it was the National Academy of Sciences published a study involving over 1,100 judicial rulings over a 10-month period. And the study found that 65% of the judges granted freedom to the first prisoner that appeared before them that day. And as the day went on and it got almost to lunchtime, virtually no one was granted parole. Well, as they came back from lunch, the study found that 65% of the first prisoners that came up after lunch were granted parole. And then as the day went on and it got to the end of the day, virtually no prisoners were granted parole. And the question, of course, is why? And the authors of that study cite something called decision fatigue. See, decision fatigue, decisions are a mental exercise. And just like physical exercise, we get tired over time. See, it's harder to make good decisions when we make a lot of decisions. And part of that is, you know, we just tend to lose a little willpower sometime as things go on. Parents know what I'm talking about. You know, these days, parents, we don't want our kids in front of a screen 24 hours a day. You know, but what we find is sometime toward the end of the day, if we don't have some pre-decisions in place, we've kind of got beat down. Do any of you feel beat down when the day's over? You don't? Well, come over to my house. You'll spend an hour or so, you'll feel beat down. But, you know, we've lost our willpower sometime. And that's why it's so important that we have these pre-decisions made that we could call boundaries pre-decisions. They're made in advance, so everything is not a case-by-case. Let's look at a couple of examples from the Bible about proper boundaries and proper predecisions. Do you remember the story of Joseph? After he was sold into slavery, he went to work for a man named Potiphar. And Potiphar's wife tried to seduce Joseph day after day after day. And my hunch is probably decision fatigue somewhere would have set in if Joseph had not had some boundaries and already made some predecisions. See, listen, if you don't have boundaries in place and if you just wait until a tempting situation comes up to make the decision, then it won't be a good decision. But Joseph had proper boundaries in place. And the end of that story was, yes, Joseph went to prison through that. And because of that, he went to prison. But the end result of that is he saved two nations from famine, all because he had strong boundaries and predecisions in place. Many of y'all remember the story of Ruth. Ruth had strong boundaries in place. She had a predecision when she told her mother-in-law, Naomi. She says, wherever you go, I will go. Where you stay, I will stay. Your people will be my people, and your God will be my God. You say, what's the big deal about that? Well, that boundary, that predecision ended up with her marrying Boaz. You say, well, that's nice. Well, Boaz and Ruth had a son named Obed. And Obed had a son named Jesse, and Jesse had a son named David. And read over this week into Matthew 1, Ruth having those preset boundaries and predecisions already made. You say, what's the big deal about that? That led to the birth of our Savior, Jesus Christ. All because she had proper boundaries and predecisions in place. What was God doing when he gave Moses those Ten Commandments? He was putting boundaries around human behavior. Do not have any other gods before me. Honor your father and your mother. Keep the Sabbath day holy. Do not murder. Do not commit adultery. Do not covet. Those boundaries God knew were important for us, so he gave those Ten Commandments to Moses. Now, as we think about boundaries, let's consider one thing. Let's consider two points of view. Relativism is moving those boundary stones further and further apart until eventually everything is so spread out you can't even tell right from wrong anymore. So relativism is just like letting your conscience be your guide with no set foundational principles And then you prorate that out over time, and nobody knows the difference between right or wrong anymore. But let's look at the other side of that. Legalism is moving those boundary stones so close together that they're burdensome and that they're impossible to keep. So we have to be cautious as we establish boundaries. We don't want to go to one end and just let everything be relative and just kind of make everything okay. But at the same time, we don't want to go towards legalism so far that we set up such stringent boundaries that they're burdensome and that we can't ever live up to them. So with that in mind, last week I shared a few goals that we have in our family. This week, let me share a few boundaries that we have, a few predecisions. And before I do this, let me ask you, don't get caught up in the particular boundaries. They may apply to us, they may not apply to you. Just let your mind start thinking about boundaries, and maybe some things will come up that'll be helpful for you and or your family. A boundary that we set as our family years ago is we have dinner together as a family every night. Sure, sometime occasionally the kids will be at their grandparents or something will come up. But as a practice, as a pre-decision, we have dinner together every night. Again, don't try to make that your boundary. If your schedule doesn't work for that, but it's a boundary. It's a boundary that we found to be important for us. Another boundary, financial boundaries. Tithing. Don't worry, we're not going to take up an offering. If you want the air to come out of a room, talk about tithing. Bible says the first 10% is God's. It's not what I say, it's what the Bible says. And for some of you that don't know, it's not because God needs it. You need it. He doesn't need it. He has it all. God's not commanding you to tithe because His work is contingent on you being obedient. He's commanding you to tithe because there's peace and there's joy and there's contentment and there's fulfillment in being obedient. One of the first thing we do when we give our children money is we ask three questions. One, we say, here's your money. How much does the Bible tell us to tithe? They say 10%. They know that Jody and I made a predecision years ago of what we give over and above the 10%. So we say, what have we as a family decided that we give? They give us that number. Then we say, now what would you like to give today? See, because we're not trying to teach our children to do the minimum. We're not trying to just get a passing mark. We're trying to teach them that whom much is given, much is expected, and much is required. Let's go over and above, and we're trying at a very young age just to make that a routine and make that a habit with our children. Because some say, when I get a lot, then I'll start giving. Let me tell you, I've been on the little side, and I've been on the lot side. It's a lot easier on the little side. So get it down on the little side, because if you wait for the whole lot side and you don't have your boundaries and predecisions made, it'll never happen. Jody and I were out in California sometime back speaking to a group there, and we made a gift to this ministry. It's a wonderful ministry that shares Christ with a lot of different people. And the founder of that ministry was there, and he said, y'all are two of the most generous people that I believe I've ever known. And I said, well, that's certainly kind of you to say that, but you must not know me very well because I'm one of the greediest and stingiest people you'll ever know. See, my nature is not to give. Some people say giving is a gift. And I'll admit to you, I did not go to seminary, so I don't have a complete handle on all the spiritual gifts. But I will say this. I spoke last week, and someone said, now, where did you go to seminary? And I thought, ooh. Nowhere. I will say this. For me, giving isn't a gift. Giving is a discipline. I don't know if it's a gift or a discipline for some people. If it's a gift, I didn't get it, but it's a discipline. It's like exercising your physical body. The more you do it, the more natural it becomes. When you go to the gym the first time, it doesn't feel very natural when you get home. If you've ever noticed, you wake up the next morning and your legs don't feel very natural. You can't hardly sit down. Do it a little while. It becomes natural. You know what? You do it enough, you'll miss it when you don't do it. It's just like giving. If you had never given, try it. You know what? The first time, it's not going to be fun. The first time, you're going to think, ooh, I should have not done that. Keep doing it. Keep doing it. You know what it does? It opens your fingers up. It keeps you from being so greedy. What it is for me, it's the perfect antidote. It's the perfect medicine for greediness and stinginess and everything being about me. So I would encourage you this afternoon, if If in your life everything kind of has somehow over time just morphed into becoming all about you, try giving. Try giving. You know, because in your finances, you have to have a firm anchor around your finances, and the only firm anchor is doing it God's way. So think about that as a boundary and as a discipline. I love what it says over in Proverbs 11:24. It says, the world of the generous gets larger and larger. The world of the stingy gets smaller and smaller. So get you some financial boundaries in your life. If you want your world to get bigger and bigger, follow God's way. We have a boundary in our home that Sunday is God's day. That's kind of old-fashioned these days. You know, church is a little more optional than it was when I grew up. But we believe Sunday is God's day. Sunday's not the day for birthday parties, and it's not the day to be playing ball games all day. It's God's day. That's not your deal. That's fine. I'm not telling you what your boundaries should be. I'm telling you what our boundaries are. We feel like that's Jesus' day. And, you know, I see a lot of families that don't do it that way. And I see where that ends. And it doesn't end very good. It doesn't mean if you kids play ball on Sunday, you're going to hell. That's not what I'm saying. That's not true at all. Don't get caught up on the little stuff. You know, the important thing is not whether you agree with these boundaries or don't agree with these boundaries. It's that you have some boundaries in your life. Because a life with no boundaries, it's just a mess. You know, another boundary we have in our home is when we work and when we don't work. I've heard it said that if proper boundaries are in place, you should not want to be at work when you are with your family, and you should not want to be with your family when you're at work. I make about a C minus on that, but if we didn't have some boundaries in place, I'd make an F. So it's not about making an A. It's about having some boundaries as a guide that you're shooting for. You know, it matters that we have time where our children are a priority. I was raised in a minister's home, and back then, you know, back years ago, people worked a lot. I don't know if y'all knew that. Some of y'all have been retired so long, you didn't know people don't still work. Used to, people worked all the time. You know, Dad was a minister. He didn't have all these assistant pastors back. You know, back, some of you grew up in a country church. You didn't have all these people doing all these different things. He was always at the ball games. He was always at dinner, and he was always play with us after dinner. What I found out when I got a little older is after John and I'd go to bed, he'd go back to work. Didn't have the internet back then. He had to go to work to get his books to study for the sermon on Sunday or the sermon on Wednesday or to prepare for a funeral or a wedding or whatever he was doing. And you say, well, that doesn't matter all that much. You know what? It mattered to me. It modeled to me that I was important, that I mattered. You know what it did? It allowed me to try to model that to my children, that they're important, that they matter. It's not all about how much money their dad can make. It's not all about where their dad can be and what their dad can do. It's about there's times when we just need to show our children that we love them and that they're important to us. You know, you may think some of those examples on boundaries are good and applicable. And you know what? Some of you may not agree with a single one of them. Some of you may say, not a single one of those boundaries is for me. That's up to you. It makes me no difference. But a couple of things to consider in closing. Don't disagree with all of those boundaries if you have no boundaries of your own. So don't dismiss something if you have no alternative. So just let that get in your spirit today and just kind of open yourself up to God and say, God, where are some boundaries that I need to have in my life that would help me stay more on track for what you have for me? Because having no boundaries is a recipe for disaster. And some of you may think, you know, that makes sense, but it's too late. I would have liked to have had some of those boundaries. You know, it's not too late. The old saying says, the best day to plant a tree was 20 years ago. The second best day is today. It's not too late. It's never too late. Don't beat yourself up over what's gone on or what hasn't gone on in the past. Start today. We can't change the past. All we have is today. The question is not all the hows and whys and do you agree with this or do you agree with that. The question is, are we seeking God for Him to guide us and to put some predecisions and boundaries in place so that we'll save some heartache for ourselves and for those we love? God, we just come to You today. We thank You that Your Word is our ultimate guide. We thank You, God, for the boundaries that You've given us. They're not boundaries to punish us. They're boundaries to spare us from things we should have never gone through in the first place. God, speak to our hearts. Touch our hearts. Show us each, God, what boundaries and predecisions you would like to have in our lives so that we could be better followers of you. God, I pray for each person in this room that you would go in front of them today and this week to lead the way. Go behind them as their protector. Go beside them as their friend. We thank you most of all that while we were still sinners, you loved us enough that you sent your very own Son to die for our sins. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.